The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Recovery Centers of America, the nationally recognized leader in drug and alcohol treatment, using proven evidence-based treatment, including 24/7 medically supervised detox inpatient and outpatient options. You'll receive exceptional care from an expert team of master-level clinicians, physicians, nurses, and staff using 12-step methodology and medications. Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region. A proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, thanks for joining us across America, everybody, and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol.
Hey, how was your week?
It was pretty good, man.
Yeah, anything new?
Nothing new. I know you caught a big fish.
Yeah, I did. I caught a big bass in a pond right near my house, and everybody thought it was caught in the river, and it was not. But it was nice. Fly fishing. Use the popper. You know, in recovery, there's so many cool things that you can do.
Yeah, that's right.
Fishing.
Yeah, absolutely.
The beach, you know, and I also saw this big article about this great white shark, and I thought about you.
Oh, man.
Did you see that?
Right off of Ocean City, New Jersey.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so can you stop teasing me? I know that the sharks can't get me if I'm on the beach.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, it's funny because we used to go out on the Grady White, and at this time of year, a lot of sharks come up and they spawn, you know, up in this area. I mean, we're talking Makos, hammerheads. Okay. You better believe it.
Yeah.
You know, this week I was – one thing that came up in the news, did you hear about the person that was hazed at a fraternity?
Jeez, yes, I did.
I mean, it's
what's wrong with young people now? I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-duddy. You get somebody so drunk, and then you put tubes down their throat.
Yeah. Well, it was this poor guy, Daniel Santelli, 19, was found in cardiac arrest with alcohol poisoning in a car at University Hospital in Missouri. And basically, this happened back in October. His parents have come out talking about this. He's confined to a wheelchair now. He had a blood alcohol of 0.46, which is unbelievable. He was made to drink an entire bottle of vodka, and then tubes were put down his throat, pouring more alcohol
in. What is wrong with our society?
I don't know. I mean, I remember in college there was some of that going on with some of the fraternities, like big-time hazing. And I think when you're young, you think alcohol can't hurt you. And we're the first to tell you that alcohol can hurt you. You can overdose on it.
You certainly can.
Certainly.
Oh, my God.
And well, head injuries.
Listen, these kids, and they're not kids, they're not babies, they should be held accountable. That's all.
Yeah, I believe one of them has been charged. And the poor parents, they're just the doctors are telling them that he's going to need this kind of level of care his entire life. Being in a wheelchair, he can't talk. He can't understand them at this point. But, you know, for anybody that's younger out there, you just got to be careful with alcohol. You really do, you know. And one of the things that I see as a clinician all the time is liver issues that come up due to alcohol.
Right. And as we know, alcohol kills more people each year than narcotics or anything.
It does. It does. Now, opioids are catching up, but alcohol definitely kills more people. And, you know, incidentally, Gary, another piece of bad news, you know, I bring in the news each week. We try to keep some of it funny and everything was there was a baby died from methamphetamines. This was back in March 9th. And a baby on June 7th, Sean Lackford and Heather Williams were each arrested for murder charges. This happened in Texas. And basically what happened was that there was amphetamines that were near where the baby was sleeping,
course,
and somehow the baby ingested.
So the parents, you know. Hey, listen, if you want to listen or watch us live, do the show every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, Clean and Sober Radio, just like some of these viewers. I want to mention some of them right now. Kathy Collin, Debbie Reynolds, Frank DeSantis, Monica McNally, Pacorni, Michael Shoemaker, Colleen Kilkenny, Ellen Joy Schwartz is watching. That's cool. Stephen Sussman from Palm Beach. Listen, when you're reaching out to us, tell us where you're calling from so we can get a feel from, you know, where you are across the country.
Incidentally, Stephen, I wonder if he's on the beach down in Palm Beach.
He's in a classroom. He's a professor.
That's true.
He's a professor. I don't know what he professes.
I know. And it was so funny because for people that have been longtime listeners of the show, they remember Stephen Sussman, his brother, who unfortunately
David passed Sussman.
David Sussman. You know, they're total opposites, those two.
But both wonderful in their own rights. You know, look.
Absolutely.
We all take different paths. And David was still, with all his struggles, a very smart and really decent guy. Janet S. from Memphis, Tennessee writes into us, "You guys always say that going to meetings is free. And my son says it costs to go to an NA or an AA meeting. He has no money, so he doesn't go to meetings." Well, Janet from Memphis, your son's giving you a crock of you know what.
Right, Mark? We can't, you know, it's funny. As a counselor, you look at these situations because I run into this all week, you know, where lies and, you know, I can't take a drug test because of this. And I can only imagine parents that aren't used to it. You know, they're not, they probably fall hook, line, and sinker for
stuff.
Well,
of course.
Right?
Of course. I would have used that line if I was into doing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually pretty creative, right?
Cost, and as we all know, it doesn't cost a penny to go to AA or NA meetings.
You can put a dollar in the basket or a couple bucks if you want to, but really you can go and you don't have to pay anything.
I've even been to meetings where people have taken a dollar or two.
Really? Did you see them do
it? Oh, yeah. Don't say anything.
So you didn't.
If somebody needs it that bad.
Yeah. What, did you just look over and you're like, he just took
same
a dollar
person,
out
same
of
person.
Oh, it was the same person
each
time.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Actually, the person looked a little bit like you. You know?
Oh, come on.
Anyway, Stephen Sussman says storms everywhere in Florida. And just to correct us, Stephen is a political scientist, professor of public administration. Okay, I don't know what that means, but I know he's very smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, a friend of mine and clinician, Angie Khalil, is on.
Oh.
She's awesome. One of the best counselors around. She's been in this field for like over 20 years. And, you know, we always talk about how there's a lot of lying in this addiction. We didn't lie, did we, Gary?
Why are you lumping me in with you?
Because we have so much in common usually.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
We usually do. Like
I did,
except for Quaaludes.
Yeah, we love the ocean. We love flying in airplanes.
Yeah, you name it. We both have horrendous ADD, and you can ask Gary's wife.
ADD.
And my wife. Yep.
ADD is a benefit. We can multitask.
Yeah, some people might think that, right?
Some people might. Other people don't. Hey, Jerry G. from Boston, Massachusetts writes, "Do you think marijuana will be it for legalization, or will other drugs be pushed to become legal?"
I think we're moving in that direction. I mean, they're already talking about it. And I think in Oregon, they might be legal, and that's magic mushrooms. So we'll have to see. It's going to be interesting over the next few years if there's a movement to legalize and even other drugs.
Well, I don't know if you just mentioned it, but psilocybin, magic mushrooms, is it legal in Oregon or something?
I thought, and you know, maybe one of our viewers can fact check this because I thought Oregon actually legalized them or were going to legalize them. But somebody might want to check that and just make sure that that's accurate.
Absolutely. Listen, if you're watching or listening to us and you need help, or somebody you love, you believe needs help, call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. And that's why Mark and I do this show. Although we have fun doing it, the idea here is to be a resource and help people that want to get help get into treatment.
Yeah, and if you're struggling right now and you want to call into the station, we'll try to help you ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going through something and you know, there's no shame in it, reach out, 888-329-3306. Tell us how you're doing.
And absolutely, there's no shame in this. And Mark and I are examples of people who decided at a certain point that we had enough. And we went to different resources to get help, but we went and got it because, as we always say, there's no drive-throughs and there is no delivery service for recovery, for help, for treatment.
You know, it's crazy, but remember when first getting sober, first getting clean, I mean, I was scared like that people would see me at meetings. I was scared of just the whole stigma. And it's funny how that goes away over the years.
Yeah. Sure.
Were you scared?
No, I absolutely was not.
You weren't?
Absolutely not. No.
But you had already been in the paper and everything, so you're like, you know, somebody sees me going to a meeting, that's a good thing.
I didn't really care.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if our viewers cared when they first went into the rooms.
Why don't let them call us and let us know. Listen, guys, watching and listening. So our guest is not here, Paul, because there's storms in Florida and the bad reception. So Mark and I are sitting here wondering, how are we going to get through this?
Yeah, and this is your show. You can call us.
Call us to help us out at 1-888-329-3306.
Yeah, I think – you know who my prediction of callers is going to be?
What?
Monica McNally-Picorni. I do.
All right.
Remember she was on our financial show?
Last week.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah. She is great, you know. Okay. Anyway, so what? One of our viewers, Stephen, Oregon is on track to become the first U.S. state to roll out legal psilocybin, the psychoactive substance found in magic mushrooms. Officials are now tentatively planning to greenlight one particular species of magic mushrooms for therapeutic use in the state starting in 2023. Holy mackerel.
Wow. Thanks for checking that.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
So it's not legal yet, but they're going to be using it for therapy.
Well, I know that the governor of Delaware has shot down the idea of recreational marijuana. He won't sign it.
I saw that. But, you know, it'll be interesting about this psilocybin. And I have a soft spot for that stuff. I used to love it.
Oh, I never took it. What was it like?
It was great. Oh, well, I don't want to get into euphoric recall here, you know, but I loved it. It was great. You know, it really was. But it was like acid, but it was a much lower kind of, you know, hallucinogenic, and it didn't last as long, and it was natural. It tasted really bad when you ate. I gotta stop. I don't want to trigger anybody here.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
Did you eat it? How did that?
So I did it both. You can do it with tea, where somebody makes this mushroom tea, but it doesn't last as long. You know, you trip for only a couple, like 2 hours or something. But most of the time people eat it. And if people know the story, this stuff grows under cow manure. So it really has a not the most pleasant taste.
You know, Brad's looking at you and going, why?
He's just thinking you guys are crazy.
Yeah,
and he knew it all
absolutely
along.
Hey, listen, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation. Yeah. It's an open forum. Call us, whatever you want to do. But don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
If you're struggling with alcohol or drugs, Recovery Centers of America can help. RCA's local inpatient and outpatient programs are founded on science and delivered with heart from an expert caring team who will inspire and guide you every step of the way. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now to speak with a treatment advisor. At RCA, you'll be in a community that builds connections and fosters support from peers and RCA's team of medical professionals and recovery support specialists. At RCA's state-of-the-art campuses in Devon, PA and Mays Landing, New Jersey, they tailor your treatment to you and also offer specialized programs for patients with history of trauma, for patients who have achieved recovery but are experiencing a relapse, for young adults, adults 50 years and older, a confidential program for first responders and military, and a faith-based program. RCA answers the phone and accepts patients 24/7. And because it's local and in-network with insurance providers, treatment is affordable and accessible. Don't wait. Call 1-888-RECOVERY today.
Don't let addiction rob you of one more day. Pocono Mountain Recovery Center offers comprehensive addiction treatment for adults. Depending on your unique needs, your care at Pocono Mountain may include detox, residential treatment, and an array of outpatient options. We also offer transitional living support and transportation for outpatient participants. Pocono Mountain is in network with most major insurance plans. Start your recovery journey at Pocono Mountain Recovery Center. To learn more, call 877-596-0223.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
We are also heard on these great radio stations across America. KDWN Las Vegas, Nevada, WHFS Tampa, Florida, WGAC Augusta, Georgia, just to name a few. And, of course, we're broadcasting out of Philadelphia's WWDB. And we are back.
Yes, we are.
Now what, Mark?
So, I was telling Brad before the break,
yeah.
You know, in the old days, there was this whole thing where I called it. There was this whole thing with magic mushrooms where they grew under cow manure.
Yeah, I know that.
And you were supposed to be up before the sun comes up to pick these things. And I used to think about trying to do it, you know, trying to go out and find these things. But my luck, I would have gotten poisonous mushrooms.
You know, I was afraid of hallucinogenics.
Were you?
Yeah, yeah. I guess if I would have kept going, I would have done everything. But I sort of had a, you know, I had boundaries. I had some boundaries.
Boundaries. He just stuck to thousands and thousands and thousands of Quaaludes.
Right. And forging prescriptions and everything else. Guess who's on the line?
I called it.
Monica.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
How are you?
Are you in the court right now?
No, I'm actually off at work today.
Oh, nice. All right.
Yeah, I took a nice day off.
So we had a guest, that a great guy. We'll get him back on, Paul Tuttle. And the connection was horrible because in Florida they're having horrible storms. So,
I was looking forward to hearing from him.
Did you ever watch that show?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Oh, man. You see, there's a lot of people.
I know.
We're going to get him back on in 2 weeks.
I'm going to look forward to that.
Yeah. So what's doing, Monica?
We were talking about in early recovery, if you were embarrassed or not.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Were you?
I wasn't.
Me either.
Oh.
Me either.
I wasn't. So, I told the story before about being in rehab and being worried about what am I going to do, and I just took a blip from life, and how am I going to just resurface? And I decided one day, I'm just telling everyone.
That's right.
And that's what I did.
Listen.
And I never looked back.
I had the same experience. I was also, though, told that I had to be careful of who I did tell. Because, you know, if it's an employment situation or whatever, you know, the stigma was back then and it still is now. So I think you still have to be a little careful knowing your audience.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely.
You know?
Because some people aren't as open as we are and look down upon.
Oh, there's no question.
Reasons.
No question.
Yeah.
The stigma is still there.
Absolutely. Unfortunately.
Yeah. But so that's interesting. You had no – I was the same way. I didn't really care who knew, because if they didn't know what I did during my addiction, this wasn't going to matter.
Yeah. And a lot of people, for me, knew I was the party girl and I was always drinking. And there would have been a lot of questions. Like, why is she not drinking? Yeah. Why is she not acting like normal?
Right.
Normal. So it would have been an odd thing to explain.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. Look, everybody deals with their recovery in different ways. Whatever's comfortable for them.
Right.
I was always...
And when I talk to people, I always say, this is the road I took, and that's fine for me, but not for others. And I also tell my friends, you know, if we joke around and kid around about my situation, that's how it's okay for me, but it might not be for someone else.
Correct.
For instance, when we go out, I might have a, like, oh, I'm getting coked up with Coca-Cola.
Right, right, right.
But that might not be an okay way to joke around with someone else.
Absolutely.
They might not think that's funny.
Yeah, you're right.
So what's okay to joke around with me might not be someone else.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
It sort of reminds you of if you're of a certain religion or ethnic background, somebody who is as same as you, you can usually joke with them. But from somebody from the outside, don't be saying stuff to us. Is that a good analogy?
That's a great analogy.
See, sometimes, Mark, I come up with some clever things.
He really he called him she. He really does. Doesn't he, Monica?
That is. That absolutely is. Or even if someone like I work with a lot of Jewish people. And joke around about their religion. And they always say things to each other.
Right.
About Judaism.
Yeah, I know. It's the
same
thing.
Well, it's okay for them to do it. But I would never say that.
Exactly. It's in every different segment of the population. Mm-hmm. It's okay for people in the same group, but usually not somebody from the outside. It's just the way it is. It's not, you know, it's
the worst is when you mess up and you say something impulsively and the whole room goes silent, you know?
And you know you said something wrong.
Yes. I had one a couple years ago, which was one of my most uncomfortable scenes. I went to this – I was buying a purse for my wife, and the teller had this shirt on where she looked pregnant, you know?
And
I pulled the old, when's the baby due? And it was the most uncomfortable couple minutes of my life.
Mark, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to say what street I live on or anything, but a woman walks down the street. I thought she was pregnant. I didn't say anything to her. I told my wife, oh, so-and-so is pregnant. Now, Marjorie knows better, but she didn't. And she went up to her and said, hey, congratulations.
No. No. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Monica, you know what kind of browbeating I got from my wife?
I can only imagine.
You deserved it.
That's right. That's right.
Gosh.
That is uncomfortable.
That's even worse than mine.
It was so stupid on my part.
I know.
You know, and I was sober too.
Oh, Mark, at least yours was a stranger.
I know. Mine was like at the outlets, you know. But Gary, and then the best is that Gary's going to have to live with this with his wife. Right?
Oh.
Jesus, my God. That was
so uncomfortable.
That was uncomfortable.
What's your most uncomfortable moment, Monica, with this stuff? She has to have one.
What's your most uncomfortable moment in your addiction?
Ooh.
Get arrested?
Big sigh.
Did you get arrested?
Did I get arrested? Yeah. Well, I got taken in a police car and got a public drunkenness citation.
Okay.
That was uncomfortable.
Were you embarrassed? In the police reports?
Was that?
Were you in the police reports? That was always my biggest nightmare, worrying
about
that.
No, and I was so worried my mother would see it if I was.
Oh, I used to tell the cops everything, and I'd say, listen, I'm going to tell you everything, but you just can't put me in the police reports. I was so scared.
You're so naive, man.
But I just didn't want to be in the Ambler Gazette, you know?
Yeah.
So everybody knows.
I told the police officer my address was United States of America, Earth.
Oh, you're kidding.
He didn't like that. He didn't like that.
And it's so funny because you're in the business. You're in the legal profession now in the courts. And
And now I'm friends with the officer, but I found the citation years later. And I want to say to him, like, hey, you probably don't remember this, but I have to apologize to you about being a jerk.
Did he remember
you? I was a jerk. Well, I haven't. I seen him since I found the actual citation.
Oh.
So I will.
Oh, I can picture this whole scene.
Oh, and then Torrey Smith, you know, the Eagles Super Bowl winner?
Yes.
He's friends with my sister, and I've been around him a few times when I was not in good situation.
Oh, no. Is he on your amends list?
Oh, yeah. Oh. And I'm trying to get my sister to fourth step him for me.
Oh.
And she won't do it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was with him on Rehab Eve, I like to call that.
What's Rehab Eve? Obviously, it's the night before you went in?
Yeah.
Where'd you go, by the way?
Miramont.
Okay.
What a great place.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all
midnight. What did she call it? She called it Rehab Eve. Yeah. I've never heard that.
I haven't either.
That's a really rough time.
Hey, listen, one of our listeners and viewers, Mark Willick, says he read the article in the Ambler Gazette.
What article?
About you.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, Mark. I don't believe it. I was never in those police reports once.
Don't doubt Mark Willick.
But Gary Hendler, I'm still looking for the article because he was in the paper big time.
Well, I have the articles. Big time.
Are you going to bring it in one of these days?
Do you have them framed?
No, yeah, I know.
He's
no,
got
no,
his
no.
pardon framed.
My pardon is framed.
Yeah, yeah, that you get framed.
That I got framed.
That's big news.
What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, I have a great big weekend planned.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to a bar mitzvah tomorrow, a real fancy one.
Nice.
Very excited about that. And before that, there's a crab fest in the afternoon.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. sort of both ends of the spectrum. A crab fest?
Yes.
And then a bar mitzvah.
Yes.
I love crab fest.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I wonder if inflation if crabs are now like 10 bucks each.
They are. They are expensive. They are expensive.
Is it an outdoor crab fest? Is it like, you know, Old Bay seasoning and all that?
The whole thing. Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
What time and where?
That one's at 2 in West Conti, right around the corner from you guys.
I think we might be able to find it, Gary.
I think we will.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to Conshohocken and open your windows and listen for the music.
Listen, Monica, put our name on the list.
Also the Old Bay.
Put our name on the list.
Okay, right, you're in.
Listen, honey, thanks for calling in as usual. Have a great weekend, and thanks for always sharing some of your experience, strength, and hope with us. It's great.
And thank you, guys.
2 weeks in a row.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Monica.
Bye, Monica.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She's so smart.
She's awesome.
Great. She is awesome. I would like people to call in and tell us what their most embarrassing moments were during their addiction.
You know, I can imagine some people are spooked. They're like, to tell my most embarrassing moment on the radio.
They don't have to give their names.
That's true. What was your most important? No, let's not even ask each other. Let's just leave this to.
Ours might have been not only embarrassing, but illegal.
Could be. I don't even want to go there. I really don't. And I'm sure nobody's going to call in and tell us their most embarrassing moment.
They're afraid to. Listen, the statute of limitations.
But we are too.
Well, I mean. I'm not afraid. I'd be embarrassed more than afraid.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
Yeah. Very embarrassed.
Here, write it down so I can read it.
No. Some things you take to the grave.
Okay, we don't want you to do that, do we? Phil Friedman in Florida is watching us right now. Did we say Debbie Reynolds?
I'm just laughing because Mark Willick said mine was in recovery step two. And I know the story, which I would I would never say on the air, Mark. I would never say. I would never dime you out. It was the best story ever. It was great. But we won't dime. Unless you want to call in and tell everybody this story, Mark.
Yeah.
Did he tell it on the air
I think he did. I think he cleaned it up a little, you know?
I think he did, too.
Hey, listen, if you're just joining us, Mark and I are having an open forum. Our guest, we had to cut short because of the connection wasn't good.
Florida. That's
Paul Tuttle from Orange County Choppers. He'll be back on 2 weeks. Michael Siberia from Florida is watching. I got Phil Freeman, got David Serkin. Timothy Spaulding is watching. You know, I just ate too much candy.
I know. Whenever Gary eats a lot of candy, I look over, I see him, and I'm like, Gary, you got to keep going here.
I like gummy bears.
We had a whole bag, and they're all gone.
Yeah. You know, I think I can safely say I'll never use again. But food, holy mackerel.
I know. I'm on a diet right now.
Are you?
Well, not really, but, you know, I'm trying to.
Are you on a seafood diet?
No. I mean, I'm just trying to. What I'm trying to not do is eat much during the day and just drink soda.
That soda's good for you.
You know, and then at night I have my nice, you know, meal, you know, at night.
Are you losing weight?
I don't know. I haven't gotten on the scale.
That might be a good thing to do.
Yeah, it might be.
The seafood diet.
Have you ever done it?
Well, the seafood diet, you know, Brad's smiling. That's seafood and eat it.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's when you know we're running out of stuff.
No, we're not running out. Listen, we're not running out of anything.
Because our guest, for people that don't know, there's a big storm in Florida was breaking up the cell phone reception. I think that's what it was. That's what he said, right?
And, you know, when he comes back, we will discuss, you know, his show, Orange County Choppers. And the I'm not going to say funny, but part of his story is the conflict in his family between him and his – especially one son that I believe blew it all apart at some point.
So they don't make the show anymore? The show's off the air?
I don't think they do. I think it's off the air.
Got it.
But he's still involved in Florida. They moved the shop down there. And he'll tell us, you know, look, you know, he's a tough guy, a biker. You know, the bikes that they make, I think, are somewhere between 20 and 100 grand.
Jeez. And it was such a bummer because, you know, he said he really wanted to be on the show.
Yes, yeah.
And then for that to happen.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you about Friday night, Tommy James and the Shondell Show. And Tommy, of course, is in recovery. And that's why he's been on the show several times. Jim Petrowski and I got to go to the Keswick Theater outside of Philadelphia. And we were escorted backstage. And we got about 20 minutes with Tommy. And he did a little video that said, congratulations, Gary Hendler, on 40 years sobriety. And he said, I have 35. And it's a nice connection. And then he did a show, and it was fantastic.
It's amazing. And for people that aren't familiar, he wrote the song – whatever the name is, that, you know, I think we're alone now, right?
Go ahead.
I'm not going to say.
I think we're alone now. Hanky Panky, Money Money, Money Money. He had, I think, 13 number one hit records.
Amazing. Yeah, and I never knew it. I thought it was Tiffany that wrote that song. Remember in the 80s when it came out again? And I liked the song.
Tommy was on the label of Roulette Records, which was controlled by the Genevieve family in New York. And the president was a guy named Morris Levy, and he didn't get paid for one record. Kept being threatened, if you don't put another one out, this is going to happen to you.
Gosh.
And he finally, I believe, got his money after Morris Levy died.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I remember he was talking about some of that stuff, and it sounded like they were terrified of this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely terrified.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to take another break. When we come back... Mark and I have no idea what we're going to be talking about, but it will be drug and recovery induced. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from the classic rock band Vanilla Fudge, and you're listening to station WWDB.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
You know, Brad brought up a good point. that Paul Tuttle, and he'll clarify this when he comes back on in 2 weeks, all this conflict during his show, he was in recovery. And, you know, that makes it in one way easier and in one way more difficult.
It really does. I mean, you know, just dealing with family issues, especially when you're dealing with a family issue with your own kid, right? You know, the emotional that brings up and staying sober through it.
And also in their case, they were so public about it.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about it. I know you know more than I do on this, but it's going to be really interesting to hear his story when he comes back.
Yeah, it will be, because he has quite a colorful story. all right, 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Hey, you know, we forgot to mention, anybody wants to call into the station and they haven't recently had an anniversary in recovery, we'd be glad to send about the gold coins that correspond to the day, month, or year that they've been in recovery. That's a nice thing to have.
Yeah, give us a call. Tell us, you know, for one thing, you know, was it hard for you in terms of, were you worried about like what other people thought when you know, because I hear that a lot. It's like people are scared to go to meetings because they don't want to be seen in this meeting. And, you know, how much time do you have? Right? 888-329-3306.
Yeah, it's interesting that some people would be embarrassed and some people wouldn't. It's just everybody got their own story, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you and Monica, you guys were – you weren't scared at all.
I didn't care one bit. I don't know what that's about, but I really didn't. I was so beat up,
yeah,
and everything else.
Yes, I imagine after dealing with, you know, all that you dealt with, you know, it was just such a relief.
Yeah, that, you know, that's an interesting subject also. What a relief, you know. Yeah. I think we have a
got a caller.
Caller on the line.
Hello, Bill.
Hello,
Bill.
How are you,
Bill?
I'm hearing a little echo, but it's all right.
Is it a bad echo?
Fairly bad.
It's got to be here then.
We can hear you pretty well.
Okay.
So what's going on?
I can deal with it.
What did you want to call in about today, Bill?
Well, I've been clean and sober for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I was addicted for a very long time. I'm 69. I was addicted to heroin at 16. Mm-hmm. And I got clean, went on methadone, kicked methadone after 7 years. I didn't want to do it no more.
Right.
But you know what? I was in a good place. But then I met my girl. And you know what? I never told her. And it comes back to haunt you. Especially when later on in life I found out I had hepatitis C. So this has been a little somewhat of a concern.
Did you ever tell her to speak up? Yeah. You have to be honest, man.
Yeah, you know, you try to put the stuff behind you. And you don't.
Well, listen, you can't put it behind you until you're straightforward up front.
Yeah, this is true.
You know? Hey, listen, man, Bill, thanks for giving us a call. We appreciate your insight and your support. Give us a call anytime on Fridays. Thanks for calling, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Steve's on the line.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Well, how are you?
I'm doing great. I only listened to your program a few times, but I'd like to share some of my experience.
Well, go ahead.
Go for it.
Well, 40 years in a couple weeks.
I had 40 this year also, brother.
Congratulations.
Where'd you go into treatment, or didn't you?
I went to Horsham Clinic July of 82.
That's right. 82 is the year.
How about you?
I went in May the 3rd, 1982, to the Strecker program at the Institute of the Pennsylvania Hospital.
I know the Strecker program well. I used to go down there for meetings.
That's right. Do we know each other?
I think we do. I'm up in the Huntington Valley area.
Do you owe me any money?
I do, and I'm making an amends right now. So, yeah, I've always wanted to call.
Yeah.
And, you know, share a few things,
yeah.
But this is wonderful, your program.
Well, thank you. Well, tell us about yourself.
What can I tell you? Horsham saved my life, right, with the staff up there, and I'm on my way to a meeting tonight, tomorrow. So you make meetings, change your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know the deal.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I do know all the people that did that, you know, Clean and Sober with back in the day.
Okay. Okay.
And, you know, what can I say? It's a beautiful life. You know, kids, I have a business. I've been in the insurance industry for 38 years, so pretty successful there.
All right. Yeah. Look, you're exactly right. None of us would be where we are today if we didn't make a decision, either voluntarily or not voluntarily, to change our lives.
Well, I lucked out because I got in with a really hardcore group of people back then, and you know how it was back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. What can I say? And you know, giving it away, being involved, that's what it's all about.
There's no question about it. And giving back and all that good stuff. It's.
I mean, I could go on and on and on. I'm on my way to Brent Hatton tonight to chair a meeting, as a matter of fact.
Good, good. You know, it's great. You know, people, you know, for us to have really long term, we still give back. That's really the icing on the cake, I think, that we don't take it for granted, even though it's been four decades, you know.
It has, and it's funny because I know people that you went to Strecker with, you know, back in the day, the Salvation Army,
yeah,
Mustard Seed,
right?
Yeah, because you used to go to meetings in town. Am I right, Center City?
I went to some in town. Mainly, I was going to meetings on Main Line.
Okay.
But yeah, I went to meetings in Center City back then, sure. But
how about conventions? Were you involved in any of those committees?
You know, I never went to a convention. Mark, did you ever go to one?
I did. They're amazing. I went to Marlichna down in Maryland. It's an NA convention, and they're really great.
Yeah, that's powerful to see thousands and thousands of people, you know.
It really is a blessing. I was chairman on a lot of committees over the years. It's a wonderful thing, these conventions.
Hey, Steve, listen, we got to run. We're jammed up on the phone here. But
thank you, fellas.
Listen
nice
to me.
Talking to you.
Yeah, please stay in touch with us, will you?
Okay.
All right,
thanks,
brother.
Call.
Take
sure,
care,
bye-bye.
Steve.
Sure.
Bye-bye. All right. Alex is on the line. Alex, you there?
Hello.
I am. How are you, sir?
How are you? I'm no sir. Believe me.
Oh, yes, you are. In my world, you are.
Oh, well.
So I own sober houses.
Okay.
And mom was talking about lying, and her son obviously didn't trust any money to go to program.
Right.
I have heard it all.
Yeah.
With drug tests.
Oh, yeah.
Best story. Kid gave me a dirty urine. There was dirt in it.
Yeah.
Forget that the urine was cold. There's actually physical dirt in it. Like he went outside and put dirt in it.
Oh, my gosh.
I've seen it all.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You guys gave me advice on it. When the addicts use, when we catch them, they always send me why it's positive because they took Tylenol, codeine, aspirin. They can never get honest.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, the threshold problem.
That's right. Honesty is first, you know?
Well, it's Alex, it's a great point. I mean, you know, I'm a counselor myself, and it is amazing at how far someone can go with the lying. Like sometimes you can have somebody so nailed and they still are denying it. Like the test is flying colors hot and they're still denying it.
That's right.
What do you think the solution is for me?
I don't know. Alex, we have a really bad connection. We're getting every other word. Can you give us a shout back next week? We'll continue this call.
Absolutely.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks,
a good weekend.
Alex.
Thank you. Hey, remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thanks for listening. And to learn more about this broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. Have a great, safe, and sober weekend, everybody.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.